Hi, I'm Steph. I'm an addict. I want to thank Sierra, who I just met today, and Christina, and Keith for asking me to speak today. This is like the first time I've ever spoke at like a picnic, so I'm really nervous. Usually I do this thing where like I'm nervous, but I try to like spin it in a positive way and say like I'm excited, because like nervousness and like excited, it's like the same feeling. You still get like that gut feeling in your stomach, you know. So I try to like put that positive spin on it, but it's not really working very well for me today. You know, that's okay. You know, I'm always honored when I'm asked to speak. You know, I love service. This is like a big part of service today. And when Narcotics Anonymous like asked me to do something, I do it. You know, I was taught that from my predecessors, and it's something that, you know, I will continue to do throughout my recovery. You know, and I'm very grateful that I was asked to do this. So my clean date is October 12th, 2015. I'm going to kind of like tell you where I'm at today. I usually start with that. I'm really bad at time management. That's one of the reasons why I do that. I learned if I kind of talk about like where I'm at in my life today, like, you know, throw some recovery in there, you know, get to all that other stuff. You know, that's usually like how I do it. So yeah, I've been in like a really great place lately. The word like contentment has been like coming up a lot. And like that's kind of where I've been at, like super content with my life today, which I feel is like a really hard place to get to, like that feeling of contentment. You know, it's something that I always strive for, but it's like always been a struggle for me. So like the last few months, actually, that's kind of like where I've been at, like real peaceful and content and like happy with like my life. You know, Monday, so I'm like weird, I'm awkward, you know, I'm a real happy, positive person, you know, I'm also like kind and compassionate and loving, like I have all of these like great qualities today that I like don't always like see, you know, but like I'm an odd person and like I'm okay with that today. And it's funny, you know, Monday, you know, so a couple people know me very well here, and I like post things on Facebook. I go to this coffee shop in my town that I work in, and it's like also an antique shop. And there's this like ventriloquist dummy there. He's from like this show in the 70s. When I first started going there, he freaked me out, and I would like talk shit on him. And every time I would go in there, like, I would spill my coffee, like, weird stuff would just, like, start happening, and I was, like, talking to the owner about it, and he's like, oh, well, that's Lester, and he, like, told me, like, the backstory, and I was like, I'm gonna, like, try to, like, be nice to Lester, so, like, I did that, and, like, I stopped spilling my coffee, you know, all of these, like, good things, like, started happening, and I know that sounds strange, but, like, I take selfies with Lester when I go into the coffee shop. It's like the adventures of like Lester, I call it. And I was in there on Monday, and they moved him to a different spot, or he moved himself. I don't know. Because the owner said he came in the morning, and like Lester was on the floor. I was like, he was probably just like walking around. He came like in Toy Story where they fall, you know. So he, like, moved, and I'm like, I can get, like, a real selfie with Lester today. So I, like, took a selfie with him, and one of my coworkers commented on the picture, and she was like, you're so odd, but you're so lovable. And, like, I was just thinking about that. Like, how okay I am with myself today. Like, it really, really got me thinking when she said that. Like, it didn't offend me at all, because I'm, like, odd, and I know I'm odd. And, like, but it just, like, it got me thinking, like, how okay with myself I am today. Because for my entire life, you know, I, like, wore all these masks, and, you know, I hated who I was. And I was always trying to be something that I wasn't. And, like, it's just, like, a good feeling today to know that I am who I am, like, you know, like I said, odd, but I'm also, like, a great person today. I can say that. I have all of these, like, great qualities, you know, and just to be, like, at peace with that. And I did an H&I commitment on Monday night, too, and I kind of shared about that. And, I don't know, like, it's like, it ties in with, like, the feeling that I've had lately of, like, that contentment with, like, my life today. And it's, like, all because of Narcotics Anonymous, because, you know, when I came here, you know, that wasn't me at all, you know. You hear everybody, like, say, like, I never fit in anywhere, you know, I was always, like, putting on, like, different masks, and, like, that was me, like, throughout my entire life. So, like, just being okay with myself is a great feeling today. And, you know, especially, like, this last year, my recovery has been, like, tough. And especially from, like, January to March, I was not content with my life. I was, like, you know, obsessing about things. Not the drugs. Like, I lost that obsession, like, early on. But, like, this is, like, the disease of addiction. And, like, the addiction can, like, manifest itself in so many different ways. And, like, it was definitely, like, doing that, you know, for a few months. I don't know, I was just, like, in that, like, insanity. I feel like for 2.5 years I was, like, on that, I don't want to say pink cloud, but I was just, like, everything was, like, great. Like, I didn't, like, have any, like, horrible, like, things happen in my life, you know, up to that point. And then, you know, this past year, it's, like, it kind of, like, all came at me at once. You know, it started with, like, I had a surgery this past year, and that was one of the things that I was always afraid of, you know, when I came into recovery, that I would have to get a surgery, maybe have to take, like, pain medications, like, what if that obsession came back, like, all of these, like, things, you know, went through my mind, and they were going through my mind, like, you know, when I found out I had to have the surgery, and, like, it was, like, an invasive surgery, and I was, like, scared. I remember, like, crying about it in meetings. You know, but that's the thing, like, I talked about it, you know, I shared about it, you know, and I still share about it. Like, I'm very open with it. Like, I am 36 years old, I've never had children, and I had to have a hysterectomy last year, and that was something, you know, it was unavoidable, you know, but, like, that's life, and, like, it's okay. I'm okay with it today. It was something that, like, I struggled with for a while, you know, but, like, I got through that surgery, and I, like, got through it clean, you know, and when I was in there, like, I had to take stuff, because, like I said, it was invasive, you know, and, I called my sponsor, like, literally as soon as I came out of recovery. I was, like, out of it, and I was, like, on the phone with her. I came home, you know, I had to stay in the hospital that day. I came home the next day, went to a meeting that night, you know, and I continued to, like, stay in the middle, and I got through that process, and I was okay. Like, that obsession did not come back, you know, and it's because of this program, and because, like, I constantly stayed in the middle, and, you know, that was tough. You know, physical pain's tough. I think the emotional pain is 10 times worse, and, you know, I ended a relationship last year, and it was my first healthy relationship with a significant other that I've had in my entire life. I had about a year clean when we got together. I waited a year. You know, and we were together for almost 2 years, and it ended, and it didn't end it on a bad note. Like it was a healthy relationship. You know, we didn't harm each other in any way. You know, we communicated well, like all of those things that, you know, a healthy relationship consists of, like we had that. It's just, we like grew apart. It was okay. You know, I ended the relationship. But just because, like, I ended that relationship and, like, moved on didn't mean, like, that it wasn't, like, a difficult. And it was very difficult. And, you know, a couple months after that, like, I jumped into another relationship, you know, because, like, I want to fill, like, voids. And I had that void, you know, and I filled it with another person. And, you know, I felt some pain from all that. And, like, I struggled for a while. But, because of this program, and because, like, I did the things that I was taught to do in the beginning, like, simple things, like, go to meetings, call my sponsor, pray, you know, I got through that, you know, time. I got through that pain. But the thing with pain is, like, when you're in it, when I'm in it, it feels like it's going to last forever, and that's, like, how it was, you know, because I was, like, frustrated, you know, I'm an addict, I want everything, like, now, and I'm, like, I'm doing all these things, like, why isn't this pain going away, but sometimes, like, it takes a while, it takes some time, just because, like, I'm putting in that footwork doesn't mean, like, things are going to happen for me instantly, like, I have to keep putting that effort in, so, yeah, like, that was, like, my year, I mean, it was a tough year, But, like, I got through that stuff, you know, and I got through it clean. And I got through it without, like, wanting to use. Like, that's, like, the beautiful thing. Like, that entire, like, year, you know, that I, like, struggled, you know, I didn't want to get high through that entire process. And, like, that's a beautiful thing today because I didn't ever need an excuse to get high, but that would have been a damn good excuse for me to get high, you know, back in the day. But, yeah, and all that's possible because of, like, Narcotics Anonymous and, you know, staying connected and, you know, working on myself. And, yeah, so, I don't know, that's, like, where I've been at, you know, recently. And, life is good. I am excited to be here. I truly am. I'm nervous, but I'm excited. You know, I'm gonna kind of tell you guys, like, where I came from, like, how I got here, and, like, more of, like, what it's like today, I guess. You know, I had a normal childhood. I was always, like, one of those people, like, when I first, you know, I came in and out at Narcotics Anonymous for a while. Like, I didn't, like, get here and stay here, you know, and that was one of the things, like, I think I struggled with the most was, like, coming here and, like, always, like, looking at the differences and thinking, oh, well, you know, there has to be, like, trauma in your life. Like, oh, you know, your parents were addicts, so that's why you're addicts. You know, that was something that I struggled with, and I think that kept me sick for a long time. But, yeah, I had, like, a normal childhood, normal, you know, I'm the only addict in my family. You know, my parents got divorced when I was 4. You know, but we kind of got along well. And when Ryan was up here, I heard him talk about, like, one of his first memories as a child. And it sucks it's raining right now. At least it's not, like, super hot. I'm sorry if you guys are getting wet and you still gotta listen to me. But one of my earliest memories, and I was thinking about this as he was, like, saying it, but so the first place I ever lived, the first place I ever lived was on top of a bar, you know, in my hometown. My dad worked, it was like a club, it was like Polish Falcons Club. I can remember, like, being very young, probably like 4 years old, and, like, going down to the bar with him and just, like, hanging out, like, talking to all the guys. And I loved it. Like, I loved that atmosphere. I remember, like, Christmas time, you know, the cheesy Santas would come with, like, their chintzy, like, coloring books and crayons, and I don't know, I just loved it. And like, looking back on, like, that today, you know, that's a big part of my life, was, like, constantly, like, working in bars. Like, that's what I did. Bars, like, you know, I got out of rehab, I worked at a bar. Got out of rehab, worked at a bar. Like, that was, you know, that was just my story. So it's just funny that, like, I just felt super comfortable there at an early age. You know, like I said, my parents got divorced when I was young. They got along, we went on vacations together, whatever. And then, like, my dad got remarried when I was 12. Can you guys, like, hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So he got remarried when I was 12, and before that, my dad and I were, like, really close. And when he got remarried, like, he just, like, pushed me to the side, and I, like, struggled with that. It was, like, that abandonment, and I think that's where, like, my fear of abandonment, like, started from. You know, working, like, through some steps and, like, talking with my sponsor about it, like, I can look back on that and see, like, where that came from, and it was most definitely, you know, a big part of that. And, you know, that's where, like, I learned also to manipulate my mother. Like, it's always been me and my mom my entire life. She's been my rock. I'm her only child. But she's also been my, like, hugest enabler throughout my entire life, you know, through before, like, I started using drugs, you know, throughout my, you know, addiction and even into, like, early recovery. You know, I learned how to manipulate her at a very young age because she, like, felt bad. My dad wasn't there anymore. You know, she just wanted to make me feel better, and she, like, kind of gave me whatever I wanted. And I, like, learned that early on that I could, like, use that to my advantage. And, you know, I did that. You know, I didn't, like, drink or, like, smoke weed or anything too much in high school. I didn't, like, really get into that stuff until I was a little bit older, but, like, I most definitely, like, use other things to, like, get outside of myself. You know, I used to make myself pass out because it would like get me lightheaded. I like that feeling. You know, I would get obsessed with, like, video games. My mom would buy me, like, every single video game I wanted. You know, I was obsessed with Jonathan Taylor Thomas when I was younger. So, like, she bought me, like, magazines pretty much, like, every day. She would buy me a new magazine. And it was on my, like, I had pictures on my ceiling. Like, it was just, like, obsession. Like, everything that I did it, you know, balls to the walls. You know, and that was like my childhood. Like I said, before I'd ever fit in anywhere, I always tried like cheerleading, softball. You know, I was a skater for a while. You know, I tried everything to fit in, and I just didn't feel like I like fit in anywhere. You know, I graduated, didn't do like great, didn't do horrible though. You know, I graduated and I got a job for the first time. My mom wanted me to wait till I graduated to get a job. I got a job at Ames, showed my age again. JTT and Ames, like, showing my age. I loved it. I was jewelry department manager. At that time, like, I was going to school too, in college. Like, things were, like, okay. For me, I was kind of, like, happy. And then Ames closed, and I was, like, sad, and a friend of mine suggested she get me a job working at this bar that her uncle owned, so I was like, yeah, sure, why not? So I started working at this bar, and it was, like, a biker bar, and I was 20, and, like, that's where, like, my addiction really, like, took off. This is completely leaking. But, yeah, I started drinking. A lot. Like, it started, like, every once in a while, and then it became, like, a nightly thing. I met a guy. Like, guys aren't a huge part of my story throughout my, you know, like, after addiction. The drugs were, like, the love of my life. I always say that. But, like, I met this guy. He liked to drink. I liked to drink. So, like, it was, like, love at first sight. Our first date was at a strip club. So, that shows you how well that relationship went. We were together for 5 years, but I didn't really like him that much. He was just, like, around. He had kids. I loved his kids. I think that was, like, a big reason why I stayed with him for so long. I don't want these to get wet. But yeah, we were together for 5 years. Throughout that period, like, I drank a lot. I was in a couple car accidents, you know, I had surgery, so, like, I was introduced to, like, pain medication, so that, like, I went from, like, alcohol to that, you know, like I said, our relationship ended, and all I cared about that time was drugs.
Pause.
Yeah. Hi again. guess I'm starting from like where I left off. I worked at that bar, and the relationship ended, and that's where like the drugs like really took off for me. Like I said, the alcohol was replaced with the opiates, and that got like unmanageable really fast. You know, I ended up working at another bar because that's, like, a huge part of my story. I jumped from one bar to another bar. You know, I was working at this other bar. You know, and it was becoming harder to get, like, what I needed. And I had some new friends in my life, and we decided to, like, write fake prescriptions. This was, like, the early 2000s. You know, it's a little bit different today, but back then, that's something that was, I guess, common, more common, and started writing these prescriptions, and it worked for a while, but, like, everything in my life, you know, when I do, like, bad things, it always catches up to me, and there's always consequences from it, and, you know, I ended up getting caught. First time I was ever in trouble in my entire life. You know, I never even had, like, speeding tickets or anything. You know, so I got caught, and I was looking at some, like, serious jail time because of what it was and how much of what it was. You know, I was scared. I had never tried, like, getting clean before that, really, like, the first time I realized, like, I really had a problem, I can remember, you know, I was at work one day, and I, like, didn't have anything, and I got, like, so sick, you know, and at that point, like, I had said something to the girl that I worked with, and she's like, well, you know, did you take, you know, whatever today? And I was like, no. She's like, oh, you're just dope sick. So, like, I kind of realized then, like, that I might have a problem. But I didn't stop. I continued to do it because I didn't want to get sick. And then I can remember, like, this was around the time intervention first, like, came around. I can remember my mother, God bless her soul. Like, I've put her through so much crap throughout the years. But her and my cousin and my friend, like, had this intervention with me. And she made me quit my job, and she, like, locked me in the basement for, like, a week straight. Took my keys, wouldn't let me go anywhere. So, like, detoxed on my couch. It was terrible, you know, but after that, like, week was up, I, like, just went out and, like, started using it again. You know, so I was looking at some time. I had never been to treatment before. My mom had got me an attorney. She paid money for me to get an attorney, and they suggested that, you know, I go to rehab. And I'm like, okay. You know, I had no idea, like, what that was about. You know, but I went. My mom wanted me to go. The lawyer said it would be a good idea, so I, like, went. And I can remember, like, the first couple days I was there, I called my mom constantly crying for her to pick me up and bring me home. And she didn't. Like, I'm surprised she didn't, but she didn't. But, like, I'm grateful that I stayed. You know, I stayed for 28 days. You know, I was very close-minded. You know, but in that rehab, I was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous for the first time. You know, I was there. This was my first time in rehab. A lot of the people that I was there with, like, the one person that, you know, I ended up getting in a rehab romance with, was there. It was, like, their eighth time. You know, this person, it was, like, their fourth or fifth time. There was a guy, you know, that it was, like, his, like, 15th time. And I'm like, well, this is my first time. Like, this, you know, I still have to do this a few more times. So I was super closed-minded, you know. But I was grateful for the one tech that was there, because she took me to an outside meeting and introduced me to a bunch of women in Washington. And, you know, I met some women, and this one girl, like, talked about how she, like, went to rehab, and she, like, the first time, and she, like, stayed clean. So I was like, okay. So it's not, like, completely, like, impossible. You know, but I messed around. I'm going to try not to swear, because there is a lot of kids in here now. You know, I messed around when I was in there. You know, I didn't take things seriously. Got in a rehab romance, like, met some, like, new friends there. So, like, I got out of rehab, and I started using, like, right away. Even though, like, I was looking at possibly, like, some jail time, like, I still, you know, started using right away. Like, I went into rehab. You know, I had an addiction to, like, pain pills, and I met some people when I left rehab, and I, you know, was introduced to, you know, heroin. You know, I met some people that, like, started taking me to the city and, like, doing all these other things, and, you know, and that was, like, one of my nevers. Like, I always hear, like, about, like, nevers, like, never list. That was one thing that, you know, I said I'd never do, and I did it. And I don't know. I ended up getting house arrest. You know, which I'm grateful for. You know, I ended up getting house arrest, no felonies, because I was never in trouble before. You know, I worked at a bar. I left rehab and I started working at a bar. And I can remember working at this bar and being on house arrest and, like, having, like, to plug my house arrest bracelet in to the outlet while I was bartending and walking around. And you know, people laughing, like, oh, like, thinking I was cool. Looking back on that today, like, it was completely ridiculous. You know, and I was still using, and I was on house arrest. You know, my probation officer eventually decided to drug test me, like, 3 months into my house arrest, and I ended up going to jail for the first time. And I woke up one morning, it was 7 o'clock in the morning, knock on the door, and there was two, like, Westmoreland County sheriffs there to arrest me. And I was scared to death. You know, I was in there for about 2 months, and I was never in jail before. you know, I thought that I was going to go in there because I was seeing all these other people, like, leaving, like, that next day, like, a couple of days. I'm like, oh, I've never been here before. I'll probably, like, get out soon and, you know, get back on, like, a house arrest and everything will be okay. Little did I know, like, I violated my probation. I was sitting for a while. So I sat for, like, 2 months. You know, the judge ordered me to go to rehab again for the second time. And I did that, and I was a little bit more open-minded when I went to rehab the second time. You know, not completely. You know, I didn't, like, fully surrender to this, you know, program. And I think for a long time, like, I didn't respect this disease either. Like, I had no clue the control that it had over me, you know. So, you know, I went to this rehab and I got out, and I went to this intensive outpatient program where, like, probation was, like, on me every single day. I did okay. They told me to go to meetings, which, like, I was familiar with Narcotics Anonymous because of the last rehab that I went to. So, like, I started going to meetings, still on house arrest, and, like I said, a little more open-minded. You know, I got a sponsor, got a home group, and, you know, I put together a little bit of time, abstinence. I don't want to say, like, clean time, because I wasn't actually, like, working a program. I was abstinent for about a year. You know, but still, like, completely closed-minded and unwilling to, like, take suggestions and unwilling to, like, fully surrender. And unwilling to, like, come to terms with the fact that alcohol is a drug. You know, I struggled with that for a really long time. You know, I still thought I was different. Even though I heard people talk about, like, alcohol is a drug, you know, I drink and I do everything else. You know, I didn't completely think that that was me. I thought I was different. And, like, that took me back out. You know, I thought I could work at a bar again, you know. That's my theme. I continuously, like, worked at these, like, bars. So I started working at this bar. You know, I had 11 months clean, abstinent. I had 11 months abstinent. And I started working at this bar. And, you know, within a week I was drinking. And, like, when I drink, like everything else, like, I don't just drink one. Like, you know, I drink until I black out, you know. And then within, like, 2 weeks, I had a needle in my arm again. And, you know, I still had that list of, like, nevers. You know, when I went, you know, when I got out of jail, went to rehab, I still had, like, a list of nevers that I hadn't done, that I said I would never do. And, like, when I went back out there, and I was out there for an entire year, checked every single one of those things off that list. You know, it, you know, I was, and I, you know, I don't like to, like, give a drug log, but, like, I was, by the end of my road, I was, every single day, you know, I had to wake up, I had to get unsick, you know, went to one job working at a bar to another job working at a bar. In between that, I had to get unsick, you know, I had to get more so I wouldn't get sick again, you know, and then, you know, I was smoking crack and drinking, every single day too. And, like, towards the end of my road, do you guys ever see that meme on Facebook where, you know, this girl's, like, passed out in a field, and it says, like, when your parents think you're at your friend's house, like, hanging out, but you're really in the field passed out. Like, that was me at the end of my road. I can remember, like, the time that I really realized, like, I cannot do this anymore. You know, I woke up in a field. This was probably 2 weeks before I got clean. I woke up in a field, had no idea where I was. I was, like, muddy from head to toe. No shoes, no glasses. Normally I don't wear contacts, I wear glasses. And I can't see without my glasses. No idea where my car was. Like, I had nothing, no phone, nothing. You know, and I ended up walking to the road that was, like, next to this field, and someone picked me up. And I realized where I was. I had him take him to my friend's house, you know, and then once I, you know, slept it off for a little bit, I walked to the bar that I worked at, and my car was there. Both, like, all four doors were open, but all my stuff was in there. And I can remember, like, thinking, like, how insane that was, you know. And at that point, like, I had a conversation with my mom. And like I said, my mom was, you know, a huge enabler for me. But that last year that I was out, like, she stopped enabling me. You know, she didn't let me come back to her house. You know, she stopped giving me money. you know, I was stealing from her every chance that I would get. I used to always say, and this is one thing that I, you know, I always said, like, well, I'm an addict, but my life's not unmanageable because I, like, worked. You know, I had jobs. You know, I paid for my addiction. But in reality, like, I was still stealing from my mom. I was still stealing from my grandmother. I was still stealing from my job. And I was getting high in the bathroom at every, you know, those both of those jobs that I worked at. So my life was completely unmanageable. But anyways, I sat down and had a conversation with my mother and told her, listen, like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I was waking up every single day, like, wanting to die. You know, being angry that I, like, just, I woke up. You know, so I had that conversation with her. And I had a plan, you know, because I would always say, I'm going to get clean tomorrow. I'm going to get clean Monday. Like, just wait till the weekend's over. But, like, I talked to my mom about this. Like, I have to do this. You know, I didn't have insurance, you know, so I had this plan to go to treatment, to go get funded for treatment that coming Monday. And, like, you know, my higher power seems to always do for me what I can't do for myself. Chances are I probably would have never went to that appointment. You know, I would have never got clean. You know, so I went to work. October 11, 2015 was the last time I used. It was in the evening. You know, I had a plan to, like, get up in the morning, go to work, and then go to this appointment, whatever. You know, go get high and then go to the appointment. You know, so I did. I went to work. I was sick. I was like, oh, just a couple hours. I can go, like, get on sick, and then I can go to this appointment. So I left work that day, was on my way to go co-op, and I get pulled over. So I'm thinking it's just because my license is suspended. Because, like, in that year, I had, you know, racked up, like, how many more charges on top of, like, the trouble that I was in before. And one of them was, like, leaving the scene of an accident because I was intoxicated and I didn't stay. I figured it'd be better if I left than, like, sit there and get a DUI. So I left. So my license was suspended and I was still driving with a suspended license. So I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to have to leave my car here. I'm going to have to get a ride. Like, this sucks. And then he went to his car, and, like, 5 minutes later, I saw two other cop cars, like, pull up behind him, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to jail. So, yeah, I went to jail for the second time. And I was, like, angry at first. You know, I had to sit in the police barracks for a while, which sucked, sitting in the state police barracks. You know, and they transferred me to Westmoreland County. But I can, like, remember that. I remember vividly that first night that I was in jail. You know, for the second time, and I was in a cell by myself, which is doesn't usually happen there. Like, usually, you know, you're in the bubble and it's real loud and there's a bunch of people, but I was in a cell by myself, and I can remember for the first time since I was in, like, 10th grade, like, hitting my knees and just, like, thanking God for me being in jail, you know, which is insane. Because I knew, I went through this before, I knew I was going to go in front of the judge, I knew he's going to tell me to go to rehab. And I knew that's, like, what I needed. Because I was always one of those people that, like, I kind of needed a kick in the butt, you know. Because I wasn't always able to, like, do it for myself. So, like, I needed the courts to get involved. You know, I was one of those people that, like, needed the criminal justice system. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm just grateful for, like, Westmoreland County Prison. I know that sounds crazy. You know, I have an H&R commitment there. And as soon as I got a year off paper, I went there and got my orientation, you know, and I get to go in there usually a few times a month. And I would say, like, that is a huge part of my story, and that, like, saved my life, you know, having to sit in there. You know, and just, like, think for those 2 months. Because that's all I did. Like, I thought, you know. And I, like, went to every meeting I could while I was in there. You know, because, like, I was in and out of Narcotics Anonymous for a little while. You know, and, like, one thing I'm going to say about... My butt's buzzing, sorry. One thing I want to say about Narcotics Anonymous is, like, as closed-minded and unwilling as I was to do the things that I was suggested to do when I came around before, like, Narcotics Anonymous still, like, worked in my life because I... When I wanted to get clean, like, I knew where to go. You know, when I got out of jail and went to rehab again, like, I knew where to go. I knew Narcotics Anonymous was the answer because I stuck around for a minute and like I heard people share, I heard people with multiple years clean talk about like how amazing their life is because of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, that hope was there. Like, our message is hope and like the promise is freedom, like freedom from active addiction. And you know, that's all I wanted. You know, I went to rehab for the third time and I got out and like everything was different. Like when I went there, I didn't get a rehab romance. I didn't like go around the people that weren't there for the right reasons. You know, I came home and I went to a meeting that night. I just like when I got here, all I wanted to do was get clean and stay clean. I wanted that freedom from active addiction and like I got that and so much more. You know, I can remember, like, the day I came home from rehab. I went to a meeting. It was December 6th, because I went to jail rehab. It was December 6th. I went to, like, the New Stanton meeting on Friday nights, which is one of my favorite meetings. It's always been one of my favorite meetings. You know, that was my sponsor's home group at the time. And I can remember going there, and, like, there was the whole entire parking lot was full of cars, and I, like, walked in, and it was their anniversary. I don't know if anyone's been to that meeting, has been to their anniversary. It's massive. Like, there's so many people there. So I was like a deer in headlights. Not only like, you know, I was lacking like humility, like my pride and ego was like hurt. Like it was hard for me to like walk in there and like face the people, you know, that I knew from before. Like that was hard for me, but I had all these other people that I didn't know. But I saw my sponsor, I found her, went straight towards her, and she, like, sat me down at a table full of women, and, like, from that point on, like, I, like, dove headfirst into this program. You know, I got a sponsor, and my sponsor changed with about a year clean, but I'm so, like, grateful for that first sponsor that I had, because she was with me when I was craziest, you know, and, like, I learned a lot from her. You know, I got a home group immediately. You know, I did those things when I got clean before, but I kind of only did them so I could, like, raise my hand. You know, so I started taking, like, the suggestions that I was always told to take and I never did. I was told to pray. Like, that's, like, a huge thing for me today. You know, I, like, you know, Ryan spoke earlier and he was talking about, like, spirituality and stuff. You know, I struggled with, like, the higher power thing when I got here. I was always, like, I always believed in God. You know, I always had that belief. Like, I came to Narcotics Anonymous, and I, like, believed in God, but, like, I was lacking faith. you know, I had a resentment towards God, you know, when I got here. But, like, people told me to pray, and I didn't know how to pray, because even when I was going to church, and I was, like, you know, doing the things when I was younger, like, I didn't really know how to pray. Like, I knew the Lord's Prayer. I knew, like, Hail Marys. You know, I did, like, the Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep. But that was, like, the gist of it. Like, I didn't actually know, like, what a conscious contact with a higher power was. Like, I heard people talk about it. But, like, prayer, and I heard this early in my recovery, and I love it. Like, so when you learn to swim, like, you don't just, like, jump in a pool and, like, instantly, like, know how to swim, right? You know, you kind of, like, flail your legs, and, like, it's a process, you know? And that's, like, prayer, you know? I didn't, like, start praying and, like I knew what I was doing. Like, I had no idea. But, like, the more I did it, the easier it became, you know? It's like anything else that I do. We were just talking before about, like, going to the gym and, you know, how the more you do it, like, the easier it is. But then, like, you stop doing it for a while, and it gets harder to get back into that. And that was the same for me with prayer. And it's the same for me, like, with meetings. Like, you know, I miss a couple days going to a meeting, and I, like, the next day, I'm like, I don't really want to go to a meeting. But, like, I get my ass up, and I go to a meeting. I'm sorry. I said, try not to cuss, kids. You know, and that was the same with prayer. And I struggled with it for a while. I did. Not saying, like, it was easy for me. You know, I started working my second step, and, like, that's when, you know, I, like, really started this, like, conscious contact with my higher power. That was when, like, I started, like, really praying every single morning. Like, I got into this routine, And I started this routine when I had about 6 months clean. And it's something that I've been doing consistently throughout my recovery. When I say, like, consistently, like, it's every single morning. And it started with, like, I thought I had to, like, pray for, like, a half an hour and read, like, five, like, daily meditations. And, like, it was just, it was a little bit unmanageable. But that's, like, what I needed in the beginning. And, like, that's okay. You know, and, like, everything else, it's, like, you know, it changes. You know, throughout my recovery, like, the whole process of, like, my prayers have changed. Like, now, like, I can wake up and, you know, pray for a little bit. I read, like, one daily meditation usually, send some, like, inspirational quotes and, like, start and get my day started. But, like, I pray throughout the day. That's, like, always my go-to. You know, I would say, like, you know, it's great. Like, I can call people, you know, when I'm going through something, like, whatever it is, like, I can call people, I can get their experience, I can go to a meeting, I can read literature. But, like, when I'm, like, in the middle of something at work, you know, craziness is going on, like, I don't always have that option. But I always can take a minute, walk away, and, like, get centered and, like, pray. And that's, like, something that, you know, is a huge part of my recovery today, my life. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, the stuff that I did go through that last year, you know, with me, you know, not wanting to get high through any of that, I think, like, that's probably, you know, one of the biggest reasons why, like, I got through that and, you know, didn't have to get high. You know, and I love, like, that spirituality can be, like, whatever we want it to be. Like, I you know, I call my higher power God, but, like, when I got here, I didn't. I struggled with that. And, like, the meeting I was at last night, that was, like, the topic, because that was, like, kind of, like, the just for today. And, you know, spirituality, like, by definition is, you know, the connection with, like, the human spirit or soul as opposed to, like, physical and material things. And that's like Narcotics Anonymous. You know, when I got here, I had this huge, like, void that I was trying to fill with, like, everything I could, drugs, like, sex, shopping. But when in reality, all I needed to do was, like, get connected spiritually. And, like, I did that. And it's, like, it's a beautiful thing today, like, to be able to just, like, you know, just be connected, you know, spiritually. I don't know. I don't know how long I have because, like, we had, like, a break in between and we started late. But I'll just kind of, like, wrap it up a little bit. You know, I talked earlier about, like, how amazing, like, my life is today. You know, I have an amazing job. I have, you know, a pretty, like, pretty nice car, nicer car than I ever had before. You know, I have these things, you know. I have these things today. You know, and it's great. Things are great, right? You know, and the longer I stay clean, like, I feel like the more things that I get. You know, but the biggest thing that I got in recovery, you know, is, like, that peace of mind. Like, to be able to just, like, sit alone with myself and, you know, because when I got here, like, my mind was all over the place. I couldn't, you know, take 1 minute out without, like, wanting to use, obsessing about whatever. You know, and recovery has given me, like, that peace of mind today. You know, you know, our message is that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose a desire to use, and find a new way to live. You know, I stopped using drugs when I got here. That desire was gone very early on. But I found a new way to live, and, like, it's beautiful. And it's all because of, like, the people in these rooms. You know, me, like, continuously working on myself, working steps, staying connected, you know, and I love this program. Like, this is the greatest show on earth. Like, it really is. You know, I have some amazing people in my life, you know, that show up for me, you know, and I can show up for them. You know, people want me around today, which is crazy, you know. You know, I have family in my life, you know, I've always had family, you know, but when I did come around, like, I was out of my mind and they couldn't stand being around me, you know, but, like, they want me in their life today, and I'm able to be a part of their life today, and that's, like, a beautiful thing. Like, and I have real friends today because of this program, you know, real friends who, like, don't want anything from me except, like, me. Like, that's great. Like, that's amazing. And like I said when I started this, like, I'm okay with myself today. And that's, like, an amazing thing. Because, like, when I came here, I had all this self-hatred and guilt and shame. And, you know, I just hated everything about myself. So, you know, working through some steps and, like, staying connected, like, I've gained a little bit of self-love today. And, yeah, I'm just going to, like, keep coming back and keep doing what, like, I can, that I keep doing what I've been doing the last 3.5 years, because, like, it's been working for me, and I see it working for everyone else, so, grateful again that Keith asked me to speak, and that's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you.